Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Sports.
Get ready, sports fans. It's time for Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming worldwide on the Super Talk Mississippi app and on your Amazon Alexa devices. Chasing Foul Balls, your weekly source for all the sports news and interviews important to Southwest Mississippi. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank. And now, here's your host, Robbie Hamilton.
Well, good Friday morning, and welcome to the Friday morning edition of Chasing Foul Balls right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Glad to have you along. Guests this morning, got a couple of good guys. Dale McKee from up in the Meridian area. Writes a sports article up there, does a sports talk show. We'll talk to him about some football in Mississippi. And, of course, Blake Levine, a sports influencer, comes from TV side of things, now has his own podcast and web Facebook page and all, so we'll enjoy talking to Blake. With me this morning, the young gun back. Glad to have you, Wes Dudry.
Always a pleasure, Robbie. Good to be back.
Glad you're back in that chair, to our right.
The Southern gentleman.
Yeah. How do we put that? It sounds like a Southern gentleman. Not necessarily a Southern gentleman. Sounds like a Southern gentleman. Sorry, Mr. Neil Randall.
Well, y'all got it exactly right. So thank you. It's great to be here with you guys.
Boy, a lot to talk about early this morning. Break up the Bears. Southwest defeats Pearl River last night, 35-21. Go to 2-1 on the year. Guys, the game wasn't even that close. It was 35-7 at one point. Southwest, Pearl River scores a couple of late touchdowns to make it look pretty good, but the Bears completely dominated that game.
It was impressive, Robbie. Pearl River was never really in that game. The score made it look closer than it was at the end. Southwest completely dominated. This Southwest team is vastly improved. I don't know how many wins it'll lead to, because the league's so tough, but this team has drastically improved.
No doubt about that, Wes. What a difference a year makes, I guess you could say. But my goodness, I was trying to think last night, when was the last time that Southwest was 2-1 or won two games in a season? And it's been at least 10 years, if not much longer.
Tough night for Colin last night up in Wesson. They fall to Hines in a very tight ball game when they could not convert a two-point conversion right at the end of the game. So Colin drops to 2-1. Southwest will now travel to Gulf Coast this Saturday, a week from tomorrow, to play Gulf Coast. It will be back home for Colin next Thursday night, where they will host Jones up in Wesson. That's the look of the community college side. Last night, high school football, McCole keeps rolling. They skunk Provide 49-0 in Jackson last night. And, of course, on the pro side, it's starting to look like Green Bay may be the post everybody needs to be looking at. They defeated Washington 27-18 in the Thursday night football game. Neil, start with McComb. I tell you what, week by week, they seem to be a little more impressive.
Well, they've been pretty impressive for a while, and they've won a lot of ball games, and they've sent a good many players to the college ranks. And Alden Foster doing a good job over there. Did a great job down at Emmett, Louisiana, and even before that when he was at St. Helena Central. But he's got the Tigers rolling.
Green Bay may be the team to beat.
They look mighty strong. That defense has looked really stout the first 2 weeks, and Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs, are getting it done on the offensive side. So Green Bay looks like a contender.
Michael Parsons don't hurt any kind of football team when you get him, does it?
No, definitely not.
College football last Saturday, USM and Jackson State. Southern Miss handled Jackson State pretty easily. You there?
I was there. I was.
What about that one?
I think Southern Miss did what they needed to do. There were some things that probably need to be cleaned up, but they were supposed to win, and they did win, and so we'll roll on to the next week.
Neil State had an unbelievable play in the final minutes of that one to defeat Arizona State last Saturday up in Star Vegas. What a play.
Oh, look, I was sitting there watching that, and of course, the key was the goal line stand, I guess you could say, just prior to that, where they held Arizona State to a field goal. But that scoring play of, 58 yards from Chapin to Thompson, who they said is the fastest man in college football, faster than Tyreek Hill.
He ran away from the defender that
was. That was unbelievable. But and look, Mississippi State got a chance to go 4-0.
When you look at Ole Miss, again, it was kind of like you talked about Southern Miss. Ole Miss did what they had to do to go to Kentucky and win, and that's important for the Rebels.
Yeah, I think they would have liked to have won by a larger margin, but, you know, winning on the road is tough in the SEC. I don't care who it is. So they got the job done, and they kind of got the monkey off their back from last year with Kentucky. So we'll see if they can get it going.
Well, last week it was Alabama who better get the moving van out. This week it's Florida who has taken that moving van from Alabama and parked it in Florida now. What does Napier have to do to keep the job?
He's got to win. And I heard somebody say that Scott Strickland could have let him go last year, but he'd have had to fire himself. So
he's got to do what DeBoer did this weekend. He's got to beat ULM by 77 or whatever it was and leave no doubt and don't call off the dogs.
Poor ULM. But they'll get a nice payday.
They will. They're not sad about it.
College football polls. The coaches poll has Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, Georgia 3, LSU 4, and Oregon 5. Ole Miss is at 13 in that poll. When you look at the AP poll, a little bit different. Ohio State 1, Penn State 2, LSU comes in at 3, Oregon 4, Miami at 5. Ole Miss is at 17 in that AP poll. 14-17 for the Rebels, Neil. Is that higher than expected or about where they need to be?
I think it's about where they need to be. And, of course, that changes every week. Just it's a what have you done for me lately? And you can go up or down in a hurry in this day and time.
When you talk about football, of course, we kind of dodged it last week, but we'll go to it this week. The Saints. I think a little surprising they lost that game and had a chance to win. Got beat 20-13 by Arizona at home. Had a pass that could have been caught in the final seconds of the game to tie. But what's your feeling on Rattler's first game as quarterback of the Saints in the 25 season?
I thought Rattler looked good. Looked probably better than some expected. There's still some room for growth there. But he showed good command of the offense. As you said, the two-minute drive down there at the end, he did what he needed to do. He got him down there, and they had a chance, and just couldn't come down with the ball in the end zone. But a lot to build on there for New Orleans.
Defensively, Neil, what about the Saints? It looks like they'll have to play really amazing defense to be in ball games.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that, but they need to get a few more people healthy. I don't think Chase Young hadn't played, has he?
He has not,
and
no.
He can definitely be a factor. But I think they may have a shot at San Francisco. The quarterback's out, McCaffrey's out, and God knows who else. But it'd be great to get a win on the road, any win for that matter, for the Saints right now.
That's right.
High school polls on the MAIS side. Jackson Academy 1, MRA 2. Park Lane comes in at 3, Hartfield 4, Prep at 5. Oak Forest, Park Lane's opponent tonight, is ranked 7th, so that ought to be a good one out. You know, Coward Smith Stadium, Park Lane, and Oak Forest. On the public school side, Brandon Steele 1. Tupelo Steel 1, Brandon 2, West Point 3, Madison Central 4, and Grenada 5. The big news as far as this week didn't come from football, came from baseball. Both the Southern Miss Golden Eagles and the LSU Tigers give their coaches new contracts. LSU gets an extension to Jay Johnson through 2032. He'll be the highest paid baseball coach, making over $3 million a year. And yesterday, Southern Miss announced that Christian Ostrander had signed a new four-year deal. Good deal for the Golden Eagles, for real, Wes.
Absolutely. Couldn't ask for a better coach and a better staff to lead our program. And certainly happy to have him around for another 4 years.
Did you think you'd get to see anytime soon that a baseball coach in the SEC would make $3 billion a year?
Well, in the last few years, as things continue to spiral upwardly, it's not surprising, but there was a time when I thought, you know, no, that never happened, but it has, and it's only going to go up.
And baseball is by nature a non-revenue sport, guys, outside of a handful of programs. So just think on that, too.
It's not non-revenue at LSU, is it?
No, they're one of the few that it's not.
College football this weekend, LSU, Florida. It'll be Mississippi State at Alcorn, Ole Miss at Arkansas, Appalachian State at Southern Miss. And then the Saints host the 49ers, and the Chiefs host the Eagles, which ought to be a pretty good pro football game over the weekend. Let's get started. We'll come back. We'll talk to Dale McKee right after we take this time out. It's Chasing Foul Balls. It's right here on Super Talk Pike County 93.5. Welcome back, Chasing Foul Balls, Friday edition, Radio Super Talk, Pike County, 93.5. Joining us on the phone, Dale McKee. How are you, Dale?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Now, how did a guy like you get caught up in so many different things, writing a column for the TV station there, doing a sports talk show? How did you get involved in this type of stuff?
Well, I guess my love of sports, and I started at the Laurel Leader Call back in the 1973, I believe it was, and but then I decided that I couldn't make a living in sports writing, so I went and had a career at the post office. And so when I retired, I was looking for something to do, and you know, people said, "Hey, you used to write. Why don't you help us write?" And it's led to other things, and so I have a weekly column that goes out to about probably 12 little weekly newspapers on the 45 quarter. And, you know, it just details or recaps what happened the week before. And then the radio station reached out and said, "Hey, why don't you do a radio show for us?" And that happened about 4 years ago. So we've been doing a weekly radio show over there on Tuesday nights at 6 o'clock.
How'd you come up with the name Brouhaha for the radio show?
Well, that was my partner. I have no idea.
They laugh at our name, too, Sales.
When he told me about it, I said, "I don't know if that's flashy, you know." And I said, "Why don't we just call it the Eminem show?" Because my last name's McKee, his first name's Marshall. I thought that, you know, like Eminem, Marison Mantle. I didn't know. You know? He said, "Nah, we got to have a catchy one." So we call it the Brouhaha.
Let's talk sports. Mississippi State 2-0, have a chance to go 3-0 this weekend. Did you think you would be looking at these Bulldogs, even with a chance to go 4-0 on the season?
Well, I'll be honest with you. After the first game, I thought they had a chance against Arizona State. I didn't know if they would beat them, but I know they played them well last year. So I just felt like it would be a close game, but the way it ended was just, you know, basically a miracle, you know. And I just, I'm proud for Mississippi State fans because, you know, they showed up and showed out. And last year they won two games. And I don't know what they won the year before, but I'm just saying fan support is important. And so I'm glad that they got it the other night. And now I guess it's Mississippi State against everybody else.
Dale Neil Randall, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir.
Here's the burning question, my friend. Where in the world is Whistler, Mississippi?
Whistler, Mississippi. It is halfway between Laurel and Waynesboro on Highway 84.
It's a wide place in the road.
It's about 3 miles. We put signs up about 3 or 4 miles, so it looked like it was a little bigger than it was. And so, but we have a school there. It's got a very unusual name. It's a grade school now. At one time, it was a high school until they consolidated in the late 80s in Wayne County. It was called B4 High School.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of B4. Sure have.
Yeah.
Sure have.
So, anyway, we had some action last December and January, and through there, we had about 3 tornadoes in a month. So, we got on the news a lot.
Now, do you live in the suburbs of Whistler, or do you live downtown Whistler?
Well, I live off the road a little bit, but I assume it's in downtown by where the signs are located.
I love it. Dale,
I'm about 2 miles from the school.
Dale, this is Wes Nunnery here.
Yes, Wes.
We've been talking a little JUCO ball this morning, and you've got two teams right there in your backyard in East Central and East Mississippi. East Central kind of struggling out of the gate a little bit here at 0-3, and East Mississippi gets a big win last night against Northwest. Talk about what you see from those two teams. Is it business as usual for East Mississippi, and does East Central have a chance to kind of turn around their fortunes as the season rolls on?
Well, you know, both of them, I'm basically more in the Jones County Junior College area. And but just East Mississippi has been so powerful, and they do recruit down here in our area a lot. And so we keep up with them pretty good. I think I was kind of surprised that they beat Northwest, to be honest with you. I didn't really know what kind of team they had after, I believe, they lost their opening game. But I thought Colin was going to have a really good team this year. And I saw where Hines upset them last night. So I'm not sure about JUCO ball and what you expect. I know that East Central has poured a lot of money into facilities in every sport on their campus in the last few years. I really think that's made a difference for East Central, especially last year. I mean, they were a very, very good football team. And it's just, but, you know, when you're signing people for a year or even two now in junior college, I don't know how you can be consistent, but Northwest, East Mississippi, and Gulf Coast, and to a certain degree, Jones and Colin have always competed very well. They may not be up there with an East Mississippi like they were the last few years. I guess right now, I don't know who I would pick to, I guess Gulf Coast at 3-0 would be the kind of favorite. And I really don't know if anybody else is undefeated right now in JUCO. I didn't get to see all the scores last night. I saw the Jones score and the East Mississippi score. Junior college football is a different creature. I mean, you have to love it.
That's for sure.
It's a very physical game. And it's changed a little bit, like it was back when I remember when I was going to Jones. But it's a very good product, and it's good. It's good for kids.
Dale, this is Neil Randall again. Can you give us your assessment of Coach Charles Huff and Southern Miss at this stage?
Well, you know, I think he's a great coach. I hear him talk on his media just about every day. He talks like he's very, how can I say this? You know, there's college coaches that sometimes just sound like high school coaches. He seems like he's very well educated. And I'm not downing any other coach. I mean, he's just maybe a really good academic student when he was in school. And he talks very well. You know, he doesn't he doesn't do like me a lot, utter and say, and all this. I mean, he's very proper, and you can tell he had pretty good training under Nick Saban for about 3 years. And he knows how to get Southern to where they got to go. I think the next three games are crucial. I think we'll tell more about them after App State and Louisiana Tech and Jacksonville State. We'll kind of see where they did. I'm basing Louisiana Tech just on the results of the LSU game last week where it really wasn't a blowout, you know. I don't know if LSU may have been overlooking for Florida, which is, was the case. I'm not sure about that, but it seems like that Tech played them a pretty good football game.
Dale, Arkansas and Ole Miss gets after it. Good news for Ole Miss and Austin Simmons, the quarterback. Looks like he's going to play. That makes a big difference in that Ole Miss offense.
Oh, I think so. I'm not sure even who the backup is. I know they brought him in the other day for a few plays. I know he's a transfer. Kiffin's got a lot of belief in him. He's been raving about him for a couple years, and so I think he's going to have a learning curve like Jackson Dart. I think he's going to win them a game because of his ability, and he's probably going to lose them a game because of his lack of experience. And they've been very fortunate the first two games that he's thrown four picks, and it really hadn't come back to haunt him yet. But I think as long as he's got a really good running game, which it looked like they did Saturday, I think that he'll develop better, because I don't think you want to put eight people in the box. I don't think eight people in the box and to stop the run and put all the pressure on him would be good for him right now. Now, it might be later in the season, but I'm not sure. They got a tough game this week, I think, in Arkansas. They're much improved. And I think the following week, Tulane, I'm not sure about Tulane. Tulane may give them a headache or two also. Whether those two can beat them, I'm not sure. It's tough to win in Oxford. It's tough to win in Baton Rouge. It's tough to win in Tuscaloosa. It's just there's some places that's just really tough to win.
Speaking of tough to win in Baton Rouge, Florida comes in, and boy, does Billy Napier really need a win against LSU in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, he's got, you know, last year he saved his job there at the end of the year. He got on a little winning streak, and but he's got some tough games coming up, isn't it? Florida, Texas, Texas A&M. LSU this week, and he's got Texas, Texas A&M, and there's somebody else. There's like a streak of four games. They should have been 2-0, and they ever overlooked South Florida. That's the only take I can give, you know, because it didn't look like they played well on offense at all. Of course, you know, the quarterback was hurt a lot during the spring, and I don't know if that has hurt him with his timing with his receivers, you know, because, you know, nowadays they bring so many new people in, transfers, especially at receivers. You've got to have some you got to have your timing down pretty good, so I'm sure they'll give LSU a difficult game, but I'm just not sure they can beat the Tigers in Baton Rouge.
One final question. Mississippi State fined $50,000 for their fans storming the field. Should schools be fined for the fans coming on the field?
Well, you know, I don't know how you stop it, for one thing. I think that I know that they're trying to protect the visiting players. The SEC used to have a rule that you paid the fine to the visiting team. And so I'm not sure if that still goes. I read the other day that this fine was going to go to the bowl sharing fund at the end of the year. Thing about it is, you have to be in a bowl to get a share of it. So I'm not sure that I mean, you just hope Mississippi State finds a way to get a bowl so they can get some of their own money back. So no, I don't know if it's fair or not. I think they have to do something, but I'm not sure what it is, because I mean, when you got 50,000-60,000 people in a stadium, I don't see how you're going to hold them all back.
You going to a high school game tonight?
If I do, it'll probably be Gulfport and Laurel. Laurel's about 15 minutes from my house, and I'd just like to see Gulfport play, and I hear they got to have a pretty good football team, and so I just like to watch them play. I haven't, you know, I have fond memories of the old Big A conference. You know, Gulfport, Macomb, Brookhaven, Laurel, Hattiesburg, Meridian, Biloxi, you know, I kind of grew up with those teams, you know. So, you know, it's always good to see them sometime when you hadn't seen them in about 20 years, you know. So, yeah, I think I try to go around and see different games every week. Last week I saw a Jones County rivalry between Northeast and South Jones. And the week before I got to see Pascagoula and Wayne County play in a kind of scrimmage game. And so, you know, I'm just trying to make my way around and see different teams.
Well, we have your article posted on our website, Chasing Foul Balls, every week. We appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning to talk sports, and we'll sure be back with you during the football season.
Guys, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope I made sense in what I said. But, you know, I'm like everybody else. I'm a fan first.
That's all of us.
And then
I write
for a second.
That's all of us. Thank you. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you again for inviting me.
Blake Levine will join us next here on Chasing Foul Balls.
Sports.
Sports.
And now sports.
You're listening to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5 and streaming everywhere on the Super Talk Mississippi app. Chasing Foul Balls is presented by First Bank and brought to you by East Macomb Body Shop and Guy's Pharmacy. Now back to Chasing Foul Balls on Super Talk Pike County 93.5.
Well, welcome back. Tonight here on Super Talk Pike County, you'll have the high school football game. Terry comes to Southwest Mississippi Community College to take on North Pike. You can hear that one right here on Super Talk Pike County. Join us on the phone, Blake Levine. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm doing great. How are you doing, though?
Man, we hanging in there. It couldn't be much better. That's for sure. How in the world did you get out of TV into the world of the internet?
Yeah, how did I decide that social media was going to be my line of work? I just decided that, it just was something that I was doing just because I had some free time, and I was like, you know, I'm in a transition of, you know, leaving the TV industry, and I was like, you know what, why don't I just make videos in my free time?
And you did. Let's look at the football, high school football tonight in this area. One big game up the road from us in Brookhaven. You have Madison Central coming to play Brookhaven. Brookhaven showing out to be one of the top teams in 5A. What do you see tonight?
Yeah, I think ultimately Madison's probably going to win the game. However, I do think Brookhaven is very good. And to me, in my opinion, and I've made this case on my videos, they are the best team in the South in 5A. They should, and they have the path to make the state title game. Now, there's no doubt that West Point is probably the overwhelming favorite when it comes to 5A. It's hard to disagree with that. You know, everyone has their pride for their school, but West Point has proven it, and they're playing, you know, some really top teams and beating them early in this season. But Brookhaven has a path to the state championship this year, and if they get in the state championship game, then all bets are off, and they do have a title team. So, yeah, this will be a great test against Madison. I think Madison's going to win. However, I do think that there's a lot of things that we could see from Brookhaven that could really impress and maybe help, I guess, change the view of the people that don't think that they're a title contender, because I really do.
Blake, Wes Nunnery here. Thanks for joining us again. Kind of transitioning over to the MAIS side, there's been a lot of talk this year about the new playoff and championship structure in MAIS. As somebody who has their finger on the pulse of high school sports, what are your thoughts on it? Is it solving a problem, or is it just creating more confusion?
I think it was awful. I've been open about that. I think the new playoff format was a horrible idea. I hope that they change it, and they made a mistake, and that's okay. It's just doubling down on a mistake is never a good thing, and I hope that this is just a one-year playoff format, and they will fix the mistake that they've created, because there's no reason that 15% of high school football teams in the MAIS should win a state title. Did you guys know that that was the number, that 15% of the 11-man teams are going to win a title? 15%.
You mean it's only 15%?
Right. It's only 15%. Right, exactly. That's funny.
Blake, Neil Randall again. Thanks for joining us. We're all excited. We all got excited seeing Mississippi State beat Arizona State the other night in Starkville. And looking at Mississippi State's schedule, they possibly could be 4-0 in a couple of weeks. What would you say at this point in time that Mississippi State's odds are to qualify for a bowl?
They're definitely better than what they were prior to the season, right? I mean, I think their win total prior to the season in some betting books was about 4. So, yeah, I mean, they won a game that they probably, quote-unquote, shouldn't have or were the betting underdog for. The problem that they're going to run into is, I believe, and I don't have it on my hand, but I believe at the moment 6 of their 8 SEC games are against ranked teams, and the 2 teams that are not ranked are Florida and Arkansas, which I think you guys would agree are not pushovers. Even though Florida lost to USF last week, nobody thinks, oh, that's an easy win for any school that's going to play Florida, and every school like an LSU this week has to be up for them. So they're going to have to somehow to make the bowl either beat Florida and Arkansas. They're two non-ranked teams in conference, which I guess, you know, is very possible, but I think that's more likely a split if they are going to win one of those. And they're going to have to go try to find a ranked win somewhere else, which I guess if they get to 6 wins and you have 2 ranked wins, you have to feel really good if you're Jeff Lebby, especially after, you know, having to rehaul the whole team from Zach Arnett to a 2-10 season and fans wondering if you're the guy, and then you had 2 ranked wins. I still think 5 wins is probably the most likely outcome. However, there is a path to 6, but it's probably going to come with a ranked win.
Let's go back to high school. We need to break up the Salem Wildcats. Lost 49 in a row, but they've won their first 2 games this year. That's a really great start for Salem.
You know, I know Salem people were probably pretty upset with me. I'm sure you guys saw that video on that I made about their 49-game losing streak and, what was it, 56 straight games on the field, because one of those was a COVID win. The last win was their COVID win. I'm very proud of them, first off. I am so happy that Salem is getting in the win column, and it's only going to help, because when you lose 49 straight games, it's tougher to get kids out for football. And when you're a 1A school, you need every kid you can to come out for football. And so when you start 2-0, and they do have a few other wins on their schedule, in my opinion, now that they've beat some of these teams, and it was really wonderful for them to beat a 3A team. It's not like they beat another 1A team. Their first win after that 49 loss was McLaurin, and yeah, you know, McLaurin's been down, but still, that's a 3A school. That's a bigger school, so very proud of Salem, and I'm rooting for them, and I hope that maybe they can even get a playoff win this year.
Blake, it's Wes again. Do you have a game of the weekend you're most looking forward to this weekend, a matchup you're most excited to see, or a great storyline? What are your thoughts on the matchups this weekend?
Well, in your area, it's definitely the Brookhaven-Madison game. That's definitely in your guys' area the game of the week, in my opinion, because I think, like I said, I'm picking Madison. But if Brookhaven wins this game, I might be having to think about my 5A title pick. But game of the week around the same. I mean, Brandon Clinton is very interesting, and Brandon tends to be a game of the week every single week. But playing Clinton, because I don't think people thought Clinton was very good, and now they're 2-0 with wins over Northwest Rankin and Warren Central. So I'm curious to see how good Clinton really is. So I think Clinton Brandon in the metro area is really good. And I think another one that's maybe up north that's kind of interesting is Holmes County and Louisville. Louisville was down at halftime to Shannon the week before. Holmes County went and beat 7A Biloxi a couple weeks ago. So I think that matchup's a very fun one.
Blake Neal again. Southern Miss and Charles Huff off to a pretty good start in his first year, and goodness knows they needed a good start. Can you hazard a record that they may finish with this year, win loss wise?
Yeah, and I want to make a point when it comes to Southern Miss and this weekend's game against App State, where they're favored by about a touchdown, or not a touchdown, about a point. This is week one for the Southern Miss Golden Eagles. This is their week one. They go and they play Mississippi State, and they lose, and I think we all expected that. And then they beat Jackson State, and we all expected that. This is the first game that's a toss-up. This is their unofficial week one of the season. This is the conference. This is where you have Charles Huff, and he's supposed to be the reigning championship coach in the conference when he was at Marshall. He comes to your school. You should be competitive. This is the week one. I see Southern Miss 6-6 this year, more likely 5-7 than 7-5, so I'm going to split the difference and go 6-6.
Story came out yesterday, Blake, about the sports betting violations against the Valley and UNO, two of the teams that had some players mentioned in this story. What do you know about it?
Well, it's so early in an investigation that I don't know a lot. I do know that those couple players that I think were on Valley are no longer with the school. So those kids are not even enrolled at Mississippi Valley. They're gone, and I think Valley at the moment is completely clean of this, and those two guys are going to be in some serious trouble if they were betting on games. And obviously there were other schools doing this too. It sounded like there were 13 players across the country betting on games.
Blake, this is Neil Randall again. Jackson State head coach T.C. Taylor is a Pike County lad, played at South Pike, and he's doing a great job at Jackson State. My question for you is, do you think that maybe some larger schools may take notice of him? And if so, would he leave his alma mater?
I think it depends on the situation, right? Because if you're a Jackson State fan, you are praying he stays as long as he can, because he is a wonderful person. He's a wonderful coach, and he's a wonderful leader of men. And Jackson State, the university, Jackson State, the players, Jackson State, the fans, should all want him around as long as he wants. I do think that bigger schools should be calling, though. Absolutely. I find it actually very wrong that HBCU coaches do not get more Division I FBS offers. It seems like you just don't see it. Like Fred McNair's at Alcorn, and he leaves Alcorn, and he couldn't find a job, and now he's the quarterback coach at Southern, and it's like, well, Fred McNair won two SWAT championships. How does he not have a job offer? So, yes, I think T.C. Taylor, absolutely, schools should be calling. Matter of fact, I thought that Southern Miss should give him a call, but I just don't see Southern Miss going that route and hiring a Jackson State, Alcorn State coach. But maybe that's different now. So for me, I do think that bigger schools should be calling, and I think T.C. Taylor would be dumb not to at least listen if they did.
Baseball, Jay Johnson signs an extension at LSU through 2032. He'll be the highest-paid baseball coach. Did you ever think you'd see baseball coaches making $3 million a year?
You know, my grandfather was a baseball coach. He coached high school and at one point was offered the Stanford job in the 70s. And he said that the Stanford job offered him less than the high school was offering him. So just for some perspective of the 70s compared to now, and yes, college baseball is on a rise. Just like women's basketball is on a rise, college baseball is on a rise. And it's great because I could make the argument that college baseball is better than double-A baseball. I think it's right below triple-A baseball, so you're getting double-A level players playing baseball, and now that you have NIL, more kids are not going right from high school to the pros because they can still make money in college, and they're willing to sign up for those 3 years. So you're seeing less and less high school kids drafted, too. So it's just a better product. The product's amazing. And, you know, when you get fans at the game, that's how the income gets higher.
Christian Ostrander yesterday announced he signs a four-year extension with the Southern Miss. That's good news for the Golden Eagle baseball program.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing the how stable Southern Miss is right now when it comes to baseball. It seems like they have a coach, he stays for a decade, then they hire somebody within the program, he stays for another decade. So the stability that Southern Miss has is just wonderful. And last year was disappointing in the regional. However, that team was awesome, and I think that this Southern Miss team is one of the best teams they've had in a decade. And they have something. They have a squad that they could do something really special this year.
Tell us how we can get your work.
On TikTok and Facebook, it's the Magnolia Shine Podcast, and you can just plug it in. It'll pop up right there. And then on my Twitter, it's just Blake Levine. And then I also have another Facebook page that's Blake Levine Sports Reporter. I've had that one forever. And then on YouTube, you know, I've been doing a little podcasting in my spare time, and that's also the Magnolia Shine Podcast on YouTube. And we would love if you guys would go subscribe to it. That's what really helps us.
We appreciate it. Thanks for being with us this morning, Blake. We'll be back in touch with you.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for letting me come on.
Big Daddy's next right here on Super Talk Pike County. Well, welcome back. Jason Foul Balls. Thanks to Dale McKee and Blake Levine for joining us this morning. Now the phone, Big Daddy. Reese, how are you?
All right, doing great, Robbie. Thank you.
You ready for three in a row? You ready for three in a row?
Yeah, we're ready to go. We'll be heading out this afternoon and try to get another win.
What do you see? App State, what kind of game it's going to be? High scoring, low scoring?
I think it'll be fairly high scoring. I think that kind of fits both teams' mantras, what they want to do, and I don't know how that will play out as far as the defenses go, but I think both teams really want to go up and down the field and score.
Reese, this is Neil. Good to hear your voice this morning, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You've told us this before, but if when you're leaving this afternoon to go to Hattiesburg, walk us through your preparation for the game up until game time, and when will you return home? Would you mind doing that for us? I know we've heard.
I don't know whether you want to know all of it or not, Neil.
Well,
but
everything.
Do you want the real story or do you want the radio story?
We're gonna have to have the radio story, but we'll get the real story later.
Well, we'll pull out whenever Wes says he's going to fire up the motorhome this afternoon when he can get cut loose. And we have our parking spot there on campus, right close to the stadium. We can't get in until 6 o'clock because there's student dormitory parking that they have to clear out. But we'll get there and get everything set up and running, and we've got some friends out there. Right by us and right across from us, and we'll need to eat something tonight and decide where we're going to get something to eat, and then we'll have a few libations tonight. And talk world affairs, you know how that goes, and then we'll get up in the morning with breakfast. Normally try to, especially this time with the ball game being 6 o'clock, we're able to put together a pretty good log rolling breakfast, I would imagine. About, we won't push it. We'll probably do it around 10 o'clock. Then we'll retire, maybe cool off a little bit, watch a little games on TV, and then grab a snack somewhere, get ready, and see. Well, you usually have a pretty good crowd show up that are just driving over and come over to the tailgate, and then at Eagle Walk starts, 2.5 hours, so it's going to be, 3:30? And I don't know whether we make that or not. Today we make the first one. And then we can head over to our place at the stadium and get up there and watch the game. And game is over, we'll go back to the motor home and we'll eat and have some more libations and watch some more ball games. And get up Sunday morning, load up, and come home.
Big Daddy, how many naps are you planning to take between now and 6 o'clock tomorrow night? Because for those that don't know, that cool-down period is code for nap time. So how many are you planning on taking?
Well, I hope I have at least one good one, Wes. That'd be depending on whether you leave me alone or not. Yeah,
those naps will sneak up on you, won't they?
Oh, yeah.
The big question,
when they sneak up on you.
Who's in charge of the libations, you or Wes?
Oh, Wes is a libations man now. Mixologist and everything.
You name it. Did you see the new Park Lane robot field marker that they had on the internet? I pre-posted it yesterday where it automatically marks off the hash marks and the lines. What do you think about that?
I saw that, Wes. I mean, Robbie. And I want to tell you what. I thought that was the best thing since sliced bread, having spent so many years of my early days in school liming the field off. Man, I couldn't. I'd have one of those just to play with, I think.
Reese, wonder how much one of those would set you back.
Well, that's what I asked Wes last night. I have no idea. And I don't even know where Ron Rushton found it, but that's an amazing piece of equipment. I could see how every school would have one for all the different sports that they have to have field work for.
Well, I promise you, there'd be some coaches that, if they had had one, would have coached a few more years if they didn't have to line that field off.
And their lines on their fields would have been a little straighter.
Oh, thank you.
Bears won again last night. Reese, 2-1 on the year. Have to be excited about the Southwest Bears getting off to such a good start.
It's early to say this, but it's the best Bears team, and maybe since I can't name one that was maybe better, other than maybe back when Steve Kimmel and that bunch was there for a short period of time. But this team can run. They have a very athletic offensive line. They don't throw it as great as maybe they would want to, but they're very efficient throwing the ball. And their defense, to me, is what started the season off. They don't allow people to run inside very much, and that's always where teams have killed Southwest in the past.
Well, when you look at things going on as far as high school and college football, it looks like an exciting year for Southwest Mississippi.
Yes, it does. Park Lane's really on a run, and like I said, Macomb's on a run, Brookhaven's on a run, Southwest Bears is on a run.
Well, Reese, I tell you what, get the libations ready, get the motorhome gassed up, because Rio, the young gun here, says he's ready to go.
He's always ready. The first game, Robbie, I thought he was going to shoot a doorknob off, waiting for one to go to get over there quite fast as he could.
Reese, appreciate it. Have a great trip this weekend. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Robbie.
Football tonight, real quick. High school, Centerville and West Lincoln. That's a pretty good matchup. Centerville Academy and West Lincoln. And we mentioned Madison Central, Brookhaven, Oak Forest, Park Lane. That's going to be a better game, which I think some people think. Two teams ranked. Terry at North Pike, South Pike's at Mendon Hall. Of course, college games we've already talked about. It's going to be another fun week. One final thing, guys. Volleyball at Southwest Monday. They are honoring the 1973 volleyball team. That was the last year that they had played volleyball at Southwest, and they will honor them in that volleyball game on Monday.
I think that's great. I didn't know they'd ever had a volleyball team up there.
But you didn't play at Southwest.
What? What's wrong with you, boy?
You caught him off guard with that one.
can't you say Neil out there?
That would be a sight.
Oh, no, I was a setter.
Yeah, I bet you were. We won't get into that discussion next week, that's for sure. Thanks for being with us, Chasing Foul Balls, and right here on Super Talk Pike County. Join us next Friday morning, 9:06. And don't forget, you can listen to it on the different platforms, Spotify, Amazon, and Apple. We'll see you next Friday. And then we holler out one more time. Don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. Well, the band just started to play my favorite song. I just found my baby and I wanna get a chance to hold her. So don't turn out the lights, the party ain't over. The party ain't over.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.